Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Show's taught me.
Shit 90 Show's taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Show's Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm really good. And the reason I'm really good is because I've decided that I'm quitting work and I'm going to go on national tour. And you might ask, like, Sarah, what's your special talent? Are you a magician? The answer is absolutely not. But what I can do is amateur knock-knock jokes. And I wanted to know if you wanted to go on tour with me for my brand new knock-knock joke tour.
I think you've skipped a couple steps in our relationship.
Like, No. No, I don't think so.
Because you were supposed to be like hot boy summer, and this has turned into like full on relationship.
Yeah. I know that. But like, I've never felt this way about a podcast co-host before. And I just want you to go on tour with me. Do you want a knock knock joke?
Yes, I do. I got to see your talent if I'm to go on tour with you, you know?
I mean, bumblebee. Okay. You know, like a warm up. You know?
Oh, I was like, what is that the joke?
No. I'm trying to warm up. Okay.
Okay. I get it now.
Like Sally sold seashells at the seashore.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm good. Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lettuce.
Lettuce who?
Lettuce in to eat salad. I'm hungry.
That's a really lettuce forward joke.
You know, big lettuce is really coming hard.
I know. Today we're sponsored by Romaine Hearts. Next week, maybe absolutely. Iceberg.
Yeah, if only we're lucky. Mm-hmm. That joke, I got that joke from a Stop and Shop like catalog that came out back in like 2006 when I worked there.
Is this like the same thing as how you memorize the Caress like shampoo
bottle? Yeah. But I don't know why, but at the time I thought that that was the funniest knock knock joke that ever existed. And I would just like tell it and laugh. And nobody ever thought it was funny but me.
I mean, I feel like I've heard funny, like, my, you know, my favorite joke. I've said my favorite joke before. I think it always gets a laugh, and it's
the, was it the Aristocats joke?
No.
Aristocrats joke?
No. It's where does George Washington keep his armies?
Where's that?
In his sleeveys. There's silence. It's a think. It's not a thinker. His armies. Like his armies.
Armies like, in his sleeveys.
In his sleeveys.
But then, okay. All right.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I mean, I really like dad jokes. So, like, yeah. I'm kind of easy to please. You know what I was thinking about the other day?
What?
Have we ever talked about, like, first jobs or, like, our jobs that we've had?
Like, what we do now? Have we talked about?
No, not now. Like, in our lives. Because
we talked about first jobs.
First jobs are just so eggy. I know eggy's not a thing, but they're so eggy. Like when I haven't had a lot because I guess my first job ever was babysitting, right? Mm-hmm. And I like was really doing the hustle.
Yeah.
I like babysat for a family.
Well, you did tell me this because you got paid like pennies.
I got paid $5 to babysit three kids.
Trash.
$5 an hour.
What a bargain. I know. Those parents were like, this, wow, she's so dumb. Like, was,
oh yeah, I was manipulated a stupid fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my, I guess, my first job. And then when I was 16, of course, I went out for Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
And then store, I worked there for like 7 years.
Okay.
But the thing is, and then when I was in college, I was at my first school, I was a like an SA, I guess this was, no, I worked in,
is that like an RA? What is
no,
an SA?
No, you know what? I think I'm just making shit up. But it was this room that in the TV production and film division that had all the equipment, and kids like a Dawson or an Oliver came in and had to check out
equipment. You would like sign them out the equipment.
I would like sign them out the equipment and then put back the equipment. And I had like this phone that I would answer that had like the old office-y phone sound, which I loved. I feel like I was pretty good at that job. What else did I do? I worked at Drew's Family's Music Store.
Okay. I think I did know that part. Yeah.
I did kind of get fired when we broke up, but then I got rehired.
What? Did you get, wait, that's illegal. You can't get fired because you, or did you quit?
It was like an awkward situation. It was like they weren't firing me, but they weren't hiring. They weren't
like, yeah, you were like, I don't know if I should still work here. And they were like, you probably shouldn't.
Exactly. That's exactly how it went down. And then also, like, I ate Thai food once there and my tooth broke. So I feel like the dental insurance was really bad there.
Workers' comp all the way.
I did not take out workers' comp. And then it was time for me to be an adult. Mm-hmm. Oh, once I did have an internship for
was
this
it unpaid?
Lady. Oh, yeah. It was definitely Schmuck. Unpaid. Yeah. And then I went out into the workforce. And then I worked at a furniture showroom with, like, this crazy expensive Italian furniture.
I feel like you've had a lot of jobs.
This is not, I really was thinking that I did not have a lot of jobs.
I mean,
at
compared
all.
To me, I don't think.
And then after many, that, yeah. I went for that crazy lady that was like a
you
little
had
to mean
feed
to me.
Poodles, yeah.
That I had to hand feed her poodles. Cooked bison. The housekeeper came every day and cooked bison on the stove and sweet potato. Okay. And I would hand feed the dogs.
This is ridiculous.
It's a true story.
I really can't.
Yeah. And then my current job. So that's my life.
How did we get on this topic? Is there
jobs? I just want to know, like, what were your first jobs?
Okay. So technically my first job was I was in middle school, I think. And we didn't have neighborhood kids. Like, I was not a babysitter. I was never around young children. My brother worked for a golden retriever and corgi breeding, duo, like the family dog breeders. And he worked for them. Like, he would go basically pick up poop in the dog kennels. And they had like a trip to go on, and they had a puppy or dog that just had puppies, golden retriever puppies, the dream job for me.
Yeah. Sounds like
and
it.
I had to watch the puppies. Cause like when the mom is in with the puppies, you have to watch them. Cause she could like squish one. She, you know what I mean? You had to like keep an eye on them. So I had to like basically babysit the puppies. So I would like go walk. It was around the corner. Like, I walked there because it was neighborhood. I walked there with my like homework, did my homework and watched puppies. That was like my very first paying job, I would say.
And there was no way to climb the corporate ladder for that, because I felt like that is your dream job.
Yeah, I loved the dogs. Their house smelled. They had a lot of dogs. That was like a every once in a while thing. And then before I was old enough to actually work, I worked at the local library. I did like a research project thing where they needed like a certain number of kids at a certain age. And I did that.
Were you a test subject?
I think they wanted us to watch videos and like tell us if what our thoughts were on them, like if they were influential, if they were good enough for like what they were trying to do. I really don't
remember. And the library needed this from you?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't know why I did it. I don't know how I got the job. I just remember I did it.
Okay. I have questions, but okay.
It's a little sus. It also took place in a really weirdly named town. So there's that. And then my first like actual job, as soon as I turned 16, I applied everywhere. There was a local grocery store, but I didn't end up working there because they didn't have any openings. I worked at a rest area, mm-hmm. and I had that job from age 16 to 21, 5 years.
What did you do at the local rest area?
I started out at a Roy Rogers, if anyone has ever been there. It is like an old school burger place. I started there as like a cashier, right? Everyone switches. Mm-hmm. No one just does cashier, though. There's kitchen, cashier, whatever. Then I moved over and I worked at the pizza place. And then I worked at the Quiznos, and then I worked at the Starbucks for a second.
Fast food goddess.
And then, I worked at like they called it the Travel Mart, but it was basically like any time prepackaged foods, you know, like a gift shoppy type of thing that they had there. And then that was it. And then I left there, worked at another pizza place for a hot second, quit there cause I hated it. And then I substitute taught for a hot second. And then insurance ever since.
Yeah. Years, and then maybe. And then in what part of the story did you hand feed two poodles? Yeah,
never.
Bison.
Never. I mean, I fed some puppies, I'm sure.
Yeah. But no.
So bison. I don't know that I've had that many jobs. I feel like I could did less than 10 for sure. Probably about 5.
But like me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a ton of jobs for me. All right. I'm a keeper. I stay at jobs for a long time.
I mean, me too. Yeah. What did you, would you say you don't separate ways with jobs very often?
I don't, which leads us right into this episode. Separate ways. Nailed it. Season 5, episode 20. I gotta say, I feel like I'm on a bit of a roller coaster with this season.
What? Like, this episode sucked.
It was not good.
I hated nearly every part of it.
Yeah.
It just was annoying.
It almost felt like we missed an episode somewhere. Because it was like all of a sudden Charlie and Joey they're like together, and like he wants to date her, and I'm like, but you were a fuck boy. Like, that was the whole purpose of your character, was that you were a fuck boy. Something about Joey's vagina makes people want to like commit, I guess. It doesn't make any sense to me. Again, this is further proof, Sarah, that the show hates Jen, because they're like, Charlie will not commit for Jen, he will commit for Joey.
Exactly, because she has long legs and doe eyes, mm-hmm. and she's all these things. It's like Michelle Williams is amazing and spectacular and beautiful, and she deserves to show up in the episode. Truly. They don't even have the respect to name drop Jen or Jack. No. However, they're okay with name dropping Grams multiple times.
Yeah. Put some respect on Jen's name.
I would want it. I would expect it.
And were you surprised? Because the first thing we see is like Audrey coming back into the dorm room and there is a scrunchie on the door handle. And I was like, oh, bitch. Okay. Scrunchie. And like, there's no, you know, what was, did you, because you went away to college for like a hot second.
I dormed for 5 years.
Okay. Was there like a, was it the scrunchie? Was it a sock? Like, was there a method of like, don't come in?
No, I think by that time we had elevated to texting. And if somebody needed time, we just texted the other person to let them know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel as though also we knew each other's schedules. So we would just not be having rendezvous with our significant others while they were there. But my roommate, my college roommate, did definitely have like guys over and like stay over for a long time. It was a little annoying. Like it was basically
just boning like a few feet away from you.
I mean, probably. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it didn't really bother me. One of her boyfriends accused me of stealing his corn dogs, and that bothered me. But the thing was, this is the stupidest thing. So, like, I had vegetarian corn dogs because I was a vegetarian at the time.
And
he
thought you were taking his meat corn dogs.
Exactly. And he accused me of stealing his corn
dogs. Fake vegetarian who's stealing my corn dogs.
I said, no, they're my corn dogs. I got them from Trader Joe's. And then I had to show him the picture, the container that said, like, meat free.
What
I was
a
like,
dick.
I know. I didn't steal his fucking corn dogs.
Were you close with your roommate that you could be like, listen, your boyfriend thinks I'm taking his corn dogs, but I'm a vegetarian.
With that roommate, I was. I think that I did bring it up. I was pretty offended.
Yeah. What a dick.
I did not eat your corn dogs, man.
Yeah. But Audrey respects the scrunchie. She's just like, and I love that she gives it. All credit to Busy Phillips. She's an icon. The face reaction that she makes when she sees it, too. She's like, oh, hey, Joey. Yeah,
get it. Good for you.
And we have this, like, little... Okay, first of all, it's really weird to me that Charlie's laying in bed in jeans, but we'll move past that. Yeah. They have this, like, little back and forth where it's obvious that Charlie spent the night because apparently he talks in his sleep and he was, like, yelling at his mom about taking his Barbie dolls. Yeah. And he accuses Joey of like snoring and drooling and all that stuff, but they very much feel like I was a not couple. Here for this, Sarah. This is coupley bullshit.
It is coupley bullshit. And I don't think that they are having sex because I do think that we would have seen that if that happened.
I so agree with you. Like, why together. Okay. I'm very confused about the whole situation because scrunchie on the door equals we're boning.
Correct.
But when we go into the room.
Well, I guess it means privacy.
To me, it means we're boning.
I mean, yeah, that's the subtext. But
and like we go into the room. Charlie is fully dressed with jeans on and he is on top of the covers while Joey is under the covers.
Yeah.
They don't look like they've had sex.
No, they definitely haven't had sex. But I do think that that's the Joey Potter way because she is like our Virgin Mary, essentially. Yeah.
And
you
I have
go
a-
above the covers. I go below. That's a safe
barrier. I wouldn't be surprised if she like separated them by pillows, like a pillow
totally.
Thing down the middle. You know
totally.
What I mean?
I think that she was just reading to him because there was like a book next to him.
Yeah.
No, they weren't having sex. We would know.
And the thing, so, okay, now, does the lady protest too much when she says, because he's like, she's like, oh my God, this is the best part about our relationship is that you don't know everything about me. I don't know everything about you. Like we don't have like all this history together. It's the best thing.
Yeah.
Is she protesting a little bit too hard about this?
I think that it is refreshing for her that she doesn't have a huge history with somebody. But I also think that, I don't know. I don't think that she likes it as much as she's saying. So maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a little I will say I understand what she's saying
yeah.
in that like It is kind of not. Let me back up. I wish this was the sort of thing where they were just like having sex and that was it. I feel like it's too close to the relationship side where she doesn't want it to be a relationship because she likes that they don't know anything about each other. But also it feels very much like it's just a relationship where they don't know much about each other. I wish she was leaning more into the like hit it and quit it style versus the like, oh, but I'm happy you don't know everything about me, because I agree, like, that's refreshing that he doesn't know everything about her life and doesn't like look at her face and immediately go, oh no, that's your angry face. You know, oh no, that's your curious face. Like, yeah, he doesn't know those things about
her.
Well,
maybe she thinks that that's what this is, but because she's not going to like have sex with somebody like that, the lines are blurred. Like, if I had to guess, I think that they're just making out all day and just kissing or all night. And I think that that's as, I mean, maybe he gets to go handsy under the shirt, but
I feel like that's as far as he gets to go, though.
Nothing down.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you're right. And you know what it is? You know what else it is? It's the perception of Joey is the girl next door. That's like literally like she is the girl thing. Next door.
Yeah, you're exactly. You're absolutely right. The show runners do not want to put Joey in a precarious situation or any way that she will be known as quote unquote promiscuous, because she's America's sweetheart, the girl next door, the girl that you see in the magazines and you want to like take home to mom. She's not the Jen character. She's not the Audrey character who are more free with their sexual preferences and everything like that.
And it's not even just the show. It's like the people in her life view her as, you're the monogamous girl. You are the girl I do bring home to my mom. You're not. And this is why Jen gets like shortchanged all the time, because the show and the people on the show treat Jen like she's like, oh, you're only just the girl I just have like sex with. And that's it. It's, I don't have to take you seriously. And it's kind of annoying just because it's like, Joey should be, and Joey gets frustrated with it here too, although I feel like she also is kind of leaning in, where she's just like, we skipped a bunch of steps and suddenly he's obsessed with me. But, you know, we'll get into that later when they talk about it, because we got to go back to civilization, Sarah, where apparently, very suddenly, Danny is no more. Audrey pays attention to envelopes she gets in the mail under new management. They have a whole new management for civilization and people about to get hired and fired all over the place.
Holy fucking shit, does this storyline piss me off. Okay, so number one, we spend so much fucking time with Danny Brecker that I basically know what underwear he wears on a daily basis. And the fact that we've spent so much time, like, he's going to be a very great mentor for Pacey, but like maybe not, because maybe Pacey sees like the worst in himself and Danny. And the fact that he was an up and coming chef and was building this restaurant that was incredibly trendy and like well established and becoming like the it place, and he just fucking up and up goes in less than a year. It just pisses me off so badly that they disposed of this character that we put so much stock into. And
it felt like they were really making him into something, and then it's super annoying.
It kind of reminds me with Boy Meets World, like Turner, you know what I mean?
Very similar. Eli as well, although less so,
but ejected without a goodbye. Like, we didn't get a proper goodbye from him. And also, it really makes me annoyed, because the whole reason why Pacey decided to not go on the boat trip, allegedly, was because he wanted to stay and learn from Brecker and stay at civilization. And that was a whole episode and a whole thing that we had to, like, go through and discuss and deliberate on. And then, like, they're doing this storyline with the new manager, which is so uncomfortable again. It's just so fucking annoying. It is so, it's so annoying.
It really doesn't make sense. It's so pointless. And we'll get into it because I'm sure we'll have very similar feelings on all of it. But
it's very funny that Audrey reads the memos and Pacey does not read the memo.
Especially considering how much we compare you to Audrey, and we know that you don't read the things that you're saying sometimes.
I choose not to read memos.
Yeah.
Unless it's like bored, like I don't know, like if it's bold, then I'll read the memo, but
it has to be very short too. Can't be a long memo.
No. Why would I want to read rules? I don't want to read rules.
Yeah. So then we have Charlie telling Joey that like, our band, we have to go on like a Go-Go's tribute thing. So we're going on the road and we hit the road Monday and Joey is like, I love how Joey's first like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to be in class? He's like, no one goes to class. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to go on Monday. And she's like, wait, what about, this is the middle of the semester. I'm like, bitch, he just told you he doesn't go to class. Like,
he doesn't go to class. Nobody at Boston Bay goes to class, which I think is kind of funny because we haven't seen Charlie or Jack or Jen go to class at all. And I kind of liked the little wink wink that Joey had there. She's like, oh, like that makes a lot of sense, actually, or whatever she said. That tracks, essentially. Yeah. I thought that that was really funny. So Charlie doesn't care if he gets incompletes or has to stay an extra year because in best case scenario, if this really takes off, then he'll never go to school again and he'll just be a rock star.
Yeah. And so he says like, oh, you should come with me. And Joey is just like, thinks it's a joke because – obviously, anybody who knows Joey knows there's 0% chance she's leaving college to be some groupie in a crappy college band. She's just like, this is my entire life. Like, this is my dream. This school is my dream. And she like basically, again, it's really weird because I feel like the beginning shot, unless they were doing it because Katie Holmes was like, no, I shall not be in skimpy clothing while I'm laying in bed with Charlie. Like, the way she says like, oh, well, you're not leaving the second, are you? And she like takes him away and it gives you the vibe of like they're going to go fuck.
I think that they're just making out. And then to Joey, who is very, once again, virginal, that's like so risque. If the show wants me to think that
I need listeners to weigh in on this because I'm just getting very confused as to
they're
whether
not
or not
having sex.
See,
there
but this
is no way.
And this is me not. This is not me like trying to get points or anything. It's just that I'm very confused with what the show is wanting us to think.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, right, if Joey was a virgin, right, let's pretend she hadn't had sex with Pacey. If Joey's a virgin, I totally agree. They're not having sex here because the show would make it clear. However, since she is no longer a virgin and like maybe okay, this is not me saying that once you lose your virginity you're gonna have sex with anyone and everyone. That's not what I'm saying. It's just like it's less of a big deal to have sex with someone because it's not like your first time, like you've already had sex before.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is that I don't know, I think that we would know if they were at least doing it. I think that at least he would have been under the covers with her.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just like
the separation of the covers is very telling for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
She was wearing one of those really long cardigans that go to your ankles, and in school, I always attributed this to being the art teacher outfit. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh my gosh, yes. I used to wear those a lot in middle school.
Yeah.
Makes me feel very old now.
Yeah, I had one, I think in sixth grade or something like that, and I felt like I was an art teacher. It was definitely a vibe. So now we are with Dawson and Charlie in Dawson's attic apartment.
No, Oliver.
Whoever.
Stupid. Who no one, cares? Honestly, no one cares. Oliver is literally the worst, and he just gets worse and worse as time goes
on. The most annoying person in the galaxy.
Especially because, like, somehow, by the grace of Spielberg himself, they were able to get another meeting with the guy they blew off so Dawson could drive to Florida. Somehow.
Right, exactly. Somehow, he is giving them a second chance, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And the approaches on how to tackle this meeting couldn't be more different, because Oliver is very conceptual and he wants to
wear matching suits.
Oh, Sarah. Yeah. Matching suits. That, it's like, let's, maybe I can get it behind that, because, like, let's have a cohesive brand. Right?
I think he means, like, let's both wear black suits with white shirts.
Yeah.
Oliver means, yeah, let's go dress like Dumb and Dumber with ridiculous top hats.
Okay, yeah, zany outfits.
That's exactly what Oliver is saying. I think you are misunderstanding what Oliver wants, because Oliver is has lost his mind.
Okay, and then Dawson's like, actually, I think that you should let me take the lead. And Oliver's like, actually, I think that you should let me take the lead. I'm the writer. I'm the creative genius. You know, you get too mechanical with your camera angles and X, Y, and Z. And apparently, Oliver likes to practice meetings, but with his family members on his own. I mean, practicing interviews are not a bad idea.
But not when, like, especially when we see the end result of this whole thing. Like, what the fuck were
you thinking? What kind of family do you think that Oliver comes from?
I feel like he is, I think he's the black sheep. But, like, I think his whole family are these, like, creative artsy types.
Yeah.
But they're all just, like, way more successful.
Entire family is a bunch of freaky fucks.
For sure. 100%. They probably do wear matching suits.
oh, no. They're, like, no offense, because I know a lot of people do this, but they're definitely those people that wear matching Christmas pajamas, but the entire family, from father to youngest child.
Oh, add on, tack on grandparents.
Gets a bandana as well.
I can't.
Do you like that or do you not?
It should not surprise you that I hate it.
I fucking can't stand it. It literally makes my skin crawl.
Capitalism pops off every Christmas now.
Yeah.
Because every store is like, but don't you want a shirt that says Mama Bear? And then the dad can wear Papa Bear? And then
why do people do this? I just want to know. Gen X and elder millennials, why are you doing this?
I really think it's one of those things where someone did it once and then put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everyone's like, but we're not a family if we don't all match.
I don't understand why you want to all match. Like, even twins that have to match are freaking miserable. And why do you make
your husbands
do this?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
the man in the situation is ever happy about this.
I think this is also a situation where before you even, like, fully commit to your significant other, you need to sit down and ask yourselves, are we going to be a matching pajama family? Are we going to be a matching photo family?
Yeah.
Because if one says yes and the other says no, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's compatible. I think you're right about that. But I do think that there has to be people out there that find each other. It's kind of like, you know, in How I Met Your Mother, it's the olive theory.
The olive theory, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. Like, you have to find your match of, like, pajama people and not pajama people.
I think this needs to be something that they put on dating apps now. Are you matching pajama people? Because if not, then you just can't swipe the other way, right?
Left? I don't know. I cannot get Drew to do that in a gazillion years. So what man is into this shit?
I think it's I would say, regardless of gender, it's the people who are too tired to resist.
That's exactly correct.
It's the people who are like, oh, all right, fine. It's less of a fight. It's less of a fight to just wear the pajamas.
I'm trying to think, like, who can I ask? I mean,
Say fuck no. Will never. 0% chance. We talked about this. We make fun of the people that do it. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Okay. Well, but I'm sure there's a lot of really great, incredible people that are wearing a Mama Bear shirt.
Yeah. If you are a pajama family, I'm so happy for you. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that you're happy.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you found a significant other that also wants to be a pajama person.
Yeah. I'm glad that you found your match in that sense.
Yes.
Can you say the PJ word, but the way I say it?
Pajama.
I think it's so funny when you say pajamas.
Pajamas?
Yeah, pajamas.
You know what I call pajamas most of the time, actually, in my real life?
Jammies.
No, I call them Jim Jams.
That's actually kind of cute.
Isn't it? Got to get my gym jams on. And I call my slippers slippies. You got to like make fun words for yourself in life because life is too boring sometimes. And you just got to spice it up with gym jams.
Jim Jams is kind of, you got me there, girly. You got me it's there. Usually one. I upturn my nose at shit like this, but you got me Jim Jams.
Got a Jim Jam. Anyway.
Or is it Jim Joms?
Jim Joms.
Okay. Can you tell that I do not want to talk about this episode?
I know
all.
It's trash, but we're getting to a good scene though. We're good to a good scene where Audrey is talking some sense into Joey.
Oh, yeah. She says, why don't you just use him as a fuck thing instead?
Yeah, exactly. Because she's just like, wait a minute. He waited for you after class and now he wants you to go with him on tour. And Joey's like, yeah. And she's like, wait, to sing? And she's like, no, to be his girlfriend. And it's just like, Joey can't believe it that, like, again, neither can we, that in one episode, Charlie has turned from like handsome bad boy into like love puppy. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, it is pretty ridiculous. And I like that Audrey has, I like that she's like reaffirming, like, yeah, this is like really, really nutty. And, but also she's like very enthusiastic about Joey just like leaning in and doing whatever she wants with him.
Yeah, like Audrey sees it as very romantic, which like maybe to some people it would be. But yeah, like Audrey is just like, oh, this is a very big like yikes thing. Never mind. And she says, you know what? The worst thing that could happen is you hurt his feelings. Bonus, he has feelings. And I also really liked, again, this is like a very small thing, but I really didn't like this episode. So I'm trying to find some of the stuff I did like. I'm enjoying that this whole entire conversation is taking place in their dorm room while Audrey is getting ready to leave. Like, I just like the small touches of like, she's putting on her makeup, she's brushing her hair. Like, yeah, it feels very realistic.
Realistic, because I think that when you're dorming with somebody, like a lot of the times, like this is the type of conversations that you have, especially when you are in college and you're kind of like in and out as they are between classes or guys or jobs or whatever. So a lot of these things are in transition. So it does make this feel like a well-established. I do feel like Joey's dorm room is kind of our Dawson's room. Like,
it is.
Our default. Yeah. This is where we end up. And I like them familiar and comfortable in this space. So that's something.
Yeah, I do agree because I think – like I said at the beginning of this season, we lose a little bit of something not being at the creek anymore because that is like our base camp. That's what we're familiar with. And especially now that civilization, which is something we've gotten to know as like a space, a place, is changing. It is nice that we always will have like Audrey and Joey's dorm room as like a home base.
Yeah, in the attic until Dawson gets kicked out.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so Charlie comes back with his vending machine snacks because apparently he's obsessed with Joey.
Yeah, so I saw a Coke and a Diet Coke and I think like Cheetos.
Yeah, you're a snack connoisseur. What do we think of Charlie's snack picks?
I really like Diet Coke and I people don't understand why somebody would drink a Diet Coke or something. It tastes legitimately better to me.
I'm a Coke Zero bitch, but
it tastes terrible, but I don't know. It's just something in there in my head.
He certainly has Fritos. That's what that one bag is.
Oh, Fritos.
A Frito bag. I don't know what it is. It looks kind of like granola bars or maybe a Hershey bar in the other. It's hard to tell.
I do like Fritos, but they're a crunchy snack. That's for sure.
I don't know. I mean, at a party, I'll munch on a Frito, but like if that's not what I'm choosing from a vending machine.
No, but honestly, the only time you will have access to a Frito is that giant bag of chips, and it's like the last chip. You know what I mean? Like the giant bag of all those little small chips.
Oh, yes.
The lunch chips, and it's the last one to choose. That's the only reason why you'll have a Frito. Nobody's going out and
buying
a bag of Fritos from the grocery store.
Also, one other thing I noticed before we move on from the scene. Now, we recently had a conversation about your obsession with flamingos.
I love flamingos, yeah.
Audrey has a flamingo on her side of the dorm room. And it has a feather boa on it.
So did you know that I also had a lawn flamingo?
I did know this. You've told me this before.
Sheila, I had this flamingo, this lawn flamingo named Sheila for a really long time. What happened was I'm pretty sure it was 7707 because it was like a really important year in my life that day. And they at Stop and Shop, where I worked, as I mentioned earlier, we had flamingos out and I asked if I can take one and they said yes. And then I had a flamingo in my room for a while. And then I gave my flamingo to my friend. And I'm pretty sure she brought my flamingo to like Burning Man. And I don't know where Sheila is today. Probably still at the burn.
Oh my God.
I think that my flamingo might be on some substances at this moment.
Probably. You know what? Everyone needs some substances to get by sometimes.
Did you think that this story was going to end with my flamingo being at Burning Man?
No.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely not.
I know. But once again, this is a true story. This is where the flamingo went.
And you know what? This entire story, much more interesting than what's happening on the show.
Yeah. So basically, we have a staff meeting.
Yeah. We have new lady, Alex, who is like new manager.
Yeah.
Played by Sherilyn Fenn.
Who does she work besides this show?
Besides the show, you mean? Yeah, I recognized her. She was in a Gilmore Girls for a few episodes. I recognize 9 episodes, apparently. She's like that. She's that girl who's like in one episode of every show.
Of everything. Yeah. She, for a split second, looks like Courtney Cox for a split second.
I mean, the hair, maybe.
I don't know.
Apparently she was in Twin Peaks.
I didn't watch it.
Another 90s show.
But basically, yeah, so what's happening is that the restaurant has been bought out by a larger conglomerate and they're doing staff changes. And in turn, they are making some cuts and they have to interview person by person to determine who is staying and who's leaving. Yeah. And Pacey gets mouthy, as he does, and he starts like huffing and puffing. And then she's like, we think that they're not going to get along at first because Pacey does have issues with authority and does not like to be told what to do. And he's also not the person that's going to sit here while there's injustice and just watch it. I mean, we've seen him fight back plenty of times. I mean, most notably in my head is when that shitty ass teacher was terrorizing Jack. She kind of is like, what are you, like the crowd appointed speaker of the house? And he's kind of like, screw you, lady, you're not going to tell me what to do. Not really, but I think that that's what he feels.
And meanwhile, Audrey has the same thought I did with for someone who like, there is a difference here where Pacey needs this job to live. Like, this is his livelihood. He's not getting money from anywhere else. Like, this is his career path he has chosen, right? He's supposed to be learning under the apprenticeship or whatever the heck of Danny. Danny leaves. And meanwhile, Audrey, this is like a side hustle, right? Like, this was just a job on the side. She needed a job for money because of the whole she got fired from the campus stores. But it's more side money for her.
Yes.
And I love how immediately she's just like, that was the sound of the fun leaving the building. Like, she doesn't even want to work here because this bitch seems terrible. Well,
it really is terrible when you have a good thing going and then there's a staff change, like a manager change. This happens a lot in retail. There is usually a revolving door of management.
Yeah.
And or in corporate as well. And a lot of the times when new management comes in, it really does like ruin the vibe and get worse. So we're going to see who gets in trouble or who gets let go. But first up in the round of interviews, of course, is Pacey. And she brings him back. And at first, we think that he's going to get let go. And I was thinking, like, is this where we're going? Mm-hmm. But in turn, she actually wants Pacey to kind of pick up the slack where Danny left off. And until they hire a new head chef, kind of like take the reins. And
yeah, this is very interesting that, like, it's not even a permanent position. She says, no, this is just until I hire someone permanent. Like, you're just temporarily taking on this role. And I do agree with what he says of, like, don't you think you should have someone a little bit more experienced than me doing this? And she's just like, look, you can just maintain the status quo. And yeah, so he like agrees to this. And I don't know, like, I guess it's exciting for him, but part of me wants to think like, Pacey, you're smarter than this. Like, you, first of all, like we talked about this, like Civilization was a very like fancy, well-known like hotspot. It's very obvious that they're turning it into a chain based on what she said earlier. And in my opinion, I'm like, Pacey, you got to see the writing on the wall that this is not going to go well. But he's all about it. He takes the job. He doesn't ask any questions. He's like, sure, sounds great. I will take that job and that promotion. It sounds like he's going to get more money. So,
yeah, to me, I feel as though you only get put in that position when you are not properly ready for it. When you're going to be used as a scapegoat.
100,000%. She sees a young kid she can manipulate. Yep. And she knows that he's going to... Here's the other thing, Sarah. If she doesn't either... I think there's two things she can do. She promotes him like she did. Or she fires him. Because if you keep him on but don't do anything, he is going to be the mouthpiece for the disgruntled workforce.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I think that hiring somebody that's not fully ready for the job and like watching them kind of fail and winding up firing him also makes a statement to all the other workers.
Exactly.
So I think it's a really dangerous place to put yourself in, but he's 19 and he just doesn't see it yet.
Yeah. It's So he does agree. He does agree to this job. Then we go back to Joey and Charlie, where like she's studying, he's just reading some magazine. And he says, you know, like our talk this morning, like it didn't go the way I planned. And instead of him saying we're moving too fast or like, hey, I get the vibe that like you're not into this as much, instead he says, maybe I just shouldn't go, like, because we're, you know, we could stay together. And then we're all like, Charlie, no, she wants you to be the fuck boy that you were supposed to be.
Yeah I mean, typically this is every girl's fantasy that a guy will, I don't know, want to stay with you, I guess, but not this guy. So I think that he gives her the creeps at this point.
It's just like, I don't know. It's like she says, I don't think this is a good idea. And he says, I know you have your doubts.
You know what I think it is? I think that because they haven't had sex, that makes him like a little puppy. He's going to have sex and then he's gonna fuck her over and run. 110%.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I need to know from the listeners if they think they've had sex yet.
They have not. There is no way. Yeah. No way.
Yeah, no, I think we would have seen them in a more compromising position if they had, for sure.
Yeah, they're just kissing. That's it.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM, and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So then we go to the meeting with Dawson and Oliver, where they Oliver's like, listen, like he's going to keep us waiting. It's a power move. He's playing a game with us. And he thinks the receptionist is checking him out. Oliver, literally no one is checking
you out. Nobody is even looking at you, Oliver. And it's not because you're ugly. It's because you're a fucking freak.
Yeah. This is so ridiculous. This is so stupid. She's just working. She's doing her literal job. She's probably keeping an eye on you because you're weirding her the fuck out.
Because you're staring at her and she thinks that you're going to murder her.
Yeah. Then we find out.
Oh my God. More tomato arts by Pacey. He is only handling the tomatoes and he always just puts the tomatoes on a sheet pan. What is next, Pacey? Tell me. What? Is that what he's going to do with them?
I don't know.
I only see the raw tomato slices. I need to know more. Okay. Well, anyway, Audrey got fired.
Yeah. I love how she says, wench fired me.
Yeah, the wench fired me.
I love the word wench. More people should use the word wench.
I think I'm very pro wrench. Wench.
Wrench. Yeah.
Not wrenches. I don't really like wrenches.
Pacey does the thing that Pacey does best. He plays knight in shining armor.
Yep.
This is such a bad move. This is such a bad move. He says, I can guarantee you will have your job back by tomorrow afternoon. This is a bad move.
You can't guarantee this, but once again, he thinks that he's now the boss and like anything could happen. So Audrey is very excited because she needs her shopping money.
Mm-hmm.
This is very bad news for her. She doesn't have a job because she is cut off from her parents and we need shopping money. Where else is she going to get pink bandanas? No.
Flamingos?
Flamingos? Nope. Boboas. What is it called?
Feather boas? Boboas? Were you Boboas. Thinking like boba?
I think I'm like back on the snake train again.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk
Please
about
don't.
It.
Please don't. Then we're really in the interview with this agent where Oliver immediately starts insulting the movies that this guy has made.
And Terrible. What is this tactic, Oliver? Why? What are you doing? What are you thinking about? Why is it just like to put yourself in like, oh, I'm like this artsy guy and like I don't really like big corporate Hollywood. I don't know.
Oliver really is trying to like play the part of like a guy who has options when they don't have options.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he interrupts the guy. He's like, oh, we have all these other meetings. And he's like, you know what? He says, we're young talent. We're young, we're talented. And the guy's like, yeah, that's why I invited you here. Like, stop being a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
He tells the guy to cut to the chase.
Oh, yeah. And gives him a history lesson about where that phrase came from.
You know what, Oliver? Not a single person gives a fuck.
I certainly don't. So he keeps talking over not only Oliver but also Dawson, mm-hmm. and essentially he plays himself so much that basically he's like, we are so busy, we have so much stuff to do, and he's like, okay, like don't let me keep you then, like go off to your other meetings, bye. And yeah, the meeting ends and Dawson is just left like, what the fuck, like why did I have to join up with this fucking moron. Like, what is this?
Yeah. You feel for Dawson because
I do.
Again, Dawson has had a very good streak of like being fairly likable. And compared to Oliver, oh my God. Like, it's just like you feel like, wow, you really, because this is a classic case of like someone like, because Oliver wrote a decent script. I'm not saying it was like perfect. He wrote a decent script. Dawson made it better. Dawson brought the vision to life. But like in spite of Oliver being so obnoxious, he's like one of those eccentric guys. But he's not talented enough to be as eccentric as he's being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So They leave. And then we have Joey like freaking out because, and also I cannot stand. And what did they, what were they thinking in this episode where they decide to show Joey from Audrey's point of view and they just have the camera upside down? The fuck was this? Why?
I don't know. It was Oliver that was trying to be something artsy. This scene really annoyed me because instead of Joey listening to Audrey lament that she got fired from her job, Joey was being a really shitty friend and just focusing on her shit with Charlie for the billionth time.
Yeah. And she, and okay, I have to read exactly what Joey says. She says, "I'm the worst kind of person because I suck these boys into my web and then I make them give up their dreams until they're left sad and dreamless and living in Boston." And I'm like, why is she constantly talking about Dawson?
She's definitely – okay, so she's definitely talking about Dawson in this moment. Talking about Charlie. Is there any way she's talking about Pacey?
Yeah.
So everybody. It's true.
Every man. I mean, to be fair, all of the men she's dated are in Boston.
I mean, facts, yes. That's true.
So, but yeah, the sad and dreamless living in Boston. Yeah. All of these checking all of the boxes. And I love Audrey saying like, what are your dreams? And Joey's like, this is it. And she's like, you need to dream bigger, girl.
I mean, sometimes it's hard to dream. I don't even know what my dream is.
Yeah. And Audrey is saying the obvious advice, which is tell Charlie, like tell him to just go on tour. And Joey literally creates her own problems.
Always. Like, that's
it's
not
the most annoying thing. And Audrey's like, I get it. He has really nice abs. Like, I understand. And Joey's like, I don't want to hurt his feelings. He's so obviously in love with me. Boo. You know, it's so hard being you, Joey.
Very difficult to be Joey Potter. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know what to say about this. It's just she's being annoying. She doesn't even ask Audrey how she's feeling.
Yeah, Audrey got fired today, Joey. Not Why don't you ask her about how that feels?
How about you just focus on somebody besides yourself, Joey? How about that?
Truly.
Pacey tries to convince his new boss to rehire Audrey, and she kind of is like, look, I can't talk about this right now. We're in dinner rush. Kind of get back to me at a better time.
Yeah. She says, we'll talk about this later. We have food. We have customers. And Pacey's like, okay, sure. And then Dawson has a meltdown, which honestly feels like it's been brewing for a while dealing with Oliver.
I love it when Dawson gets absolutely feral and starts just going off on somebody. And it's been too long. I want my Dawson so angry that I literally see the veins in his forehead.
I feel like when we finish the series, we're going to have to talk about like our favorite moments of each character, because I have not loved Dawson as much as I did when he was drunk on his birthday. Like, I can't think of a single time I've loved him more.
That was the best Dawson moment. That was so good.
He's telling all the truths. He's being shady as fuck. He's drunk and he's giggly.
Drunk Dawson is the best Dawson.
Not even a chance that there's any better version of Dawson.
I mean, he's a very fun drunk. I've seen him drunk. He's always dropping truth bombs when he's drunk.
Yeah.
We saw that this season too.
Yeah. It's great.
I think that he calls Oliver a piece of crap, but I mean, that's not incorrect.
No, not at all. And Oliver's just like, listen, he was just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many agents out there. And Dawson's like, yeah, but none of them called us. He did. And Oliver's like, well, we're going to be like the Coen brothers. And Dawson's like, we're not brothers.
I don't even want to look at you anymore. You stupid idiot. That guy's never going to meet with us again. We have nobody else.
And you feel for Dawson, too, because he's like, he cares a lot about this. And he's just like, you ruined our chance. I didn't even get to say anything. You blew it for us.
Yeah.
And Oliver, in his infinite wisdom, decides when Dawson is angry with him after he fucked up, now is the time to bring up the fact that Dawson just got rejected.
Yeah, so he said that, you know, you're calling me naive, like you're the dreamer, you're the naive one that chased a girl to Florida. It's like, excuse me, Oliver, you were the one that was convincing him to do it last week. Did you forget that?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have done it if you weren't like, we need to go now.
Yeah, you're the one who pushed him to do it.
I hate him. I hate him. I hate this character. Bring me back Yui.
Okay, I was gonna say, I will take Yui over this fuck.
I told you, I've been saying the entire thing.
Also, what the fuck? Like, they did it.
Yui's big honking beak nose. I miss his thin little lips. I miss him. I want him to come back.
Even he had upside. Like, I don't understand. Okay, I have a question for you. I want you to make a prediction. I don't even know the answer to this, so it's not like I'm fishing or anything. Like I said, I don't know the last two seasons well at all. Will anything happen between Oliver and Jen, or was that just a weird throwaway thing?
I think Oliver's gonna keep trying, but if Jen stoops that low, then there's no going back.
Yeah,
there's no going back. I don't want her to touch him with a 10-foot pole. I'm just hoping that next season it's kind of like, okay, we're done with Oliver, let's get another annoying character.
Please,
in
anybody.
Yeah.
Then we're at the bar. Charlie and his band are performing and Audrey and Joey are watching. And Joey says, this is so depressing. I can't even have a fling properly. I'm like, bitch, because you don't know how to be flung.
I'm pretty sure they're drinking sodas as well and pretending to drink beer. Come on, losers. Just drink a beer.
Come on, losers.
She's trying to say like, oh, I've never broke a guy's heart before, they've all like broken up with me or whatever, and then she says, I did not intentionally break anybody's heart. And then cue Pacey, he's coming on in and he is being like very nice, didn't say that he got Audrey's job back, but he is trying.
I promise. Get your job back tomorrow. Yeah.
So,
and this is when we get the mention of the boss, where, and like, I feel like they're setting something up.
We get
like Pacey saying the question isn't what she like, it's what she look like. And Joey asks, bit of a hottie. And Audrey says, as far as older women are concerned. And Pacey says, not that old. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this.
So
why?
Bad.
Why
so
are we doing
annoying.
This again?
Again. Yeah. And I love how to Audrey. Okay. So people's ages are either their age or Graham's age. Those are the two ages.
Yeah.
In this world.
She says, she's whatever, younger than Graham's.
Younger than Graham's, but not as young as us. There's nobody in between that we can put like a stake in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old do you think this woman is anyway? Like 40?
40. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Definitely. But yeah, so then we get into this whole thing where like Pacey gets roped into the conversation of like, oh yeah, Charlie is now smitten with Joey and he can't even help himself, blah, blah, blah. But Audrey says, listen, I have a plan.
The best plan ever.
What did you think of this? So basically,
it was so dumb, but it was funny.
For those who didn't watch the episode, she, as soon as Charlie walks over, she's like, and I, Audrey Liddell, will no longer be a fool of, and you call yourself my friend. And Joey is so confused, and she's like, I am? And Audrey says, you've been sleeping with my boyfriend for the past 3 months. And both PC and Joey are like, what?
So basically she just makes this whole big scene. I do think it's funny. I mean, like, it feels very Audrey that she's like this aspiring actress, like she's going to put on a presentation, a production, just like make like a thing out of this. But then it like wound up being kind of like a slappy cat fight.
Yeah, it because what ends up happening is,
well,
like,
she hits Joey
and then Joey gets annoyed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Joey hits her back and they're like, oh, that really hurt. And so then they start like smacking each other.
Yeah.
And my favorite is PC just rolling his eyes like, oh, all right, fine. I'll break them up.
Gotta deal with this. I gotta say that I do think that you would beat me in a fight.
I definitely would.
I think you would.
First of all, you wouldn't want to break your nails.
Oh, no.
Second of all, I have a height advantage on you.
Yeah.
And I also I feel like you're scrappier in like the word fights, and I'm scrappier if like there was a physical altercation.
Would you pull hair?
No, I'm not a little bitch.
You just punch somebody?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you pull hair?
Yeah, probably.
I am a little
bitch. I just feel
bitch.
Like that's a little bitch move. Like, that's fucking rude.
Yeah, don't pull out hair. That's terrible.
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't go for, like, the... Okay, here's the situation. If I am in grave danger, you mm-hmm. obviously go for, like, the easy, like, punch to the groin if it's a man with genitalia. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
okay.
But if it's like a fight where you're like, you fucking bitch, like you don't do that. You stay, you know, above board.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, totally agree.
But
so then basically everyone's like, cut it out. And then the goose is gooped. And then Joey admits that she is not getting back with Pacey, but she does want him to go on tour without her.
Yes.
So yay, hooray. It worked. Thank you, Audrey. You saved the day.
Yeah. He's just like, he was very much like, okay. It's one of those things where I think he just like was never expecting to ever get rejected.
Oh, absolutely. I think that he liked the chase and he was waiting for the Pound Town.
Yeah, he wanted to go to Pound Town.
He wanted to go to Pound Town.
So Dawson has stayed behind to talk to this agent, which was honestly a good move, I thought. You know, it shows perseverance, it shows determination, yeah. A little bit of desperation, but that's okay too.
I mean, I have no problem with being desperate.
In this situation, I think it's called for. I think the desperation is, yeah. I think it makes sense.
There's worse things to be than desperate in this world.
and so he says, give me another chance. He's like, you take chances on people. I know you know when they're going to be successful. Bet on us. I've never wanted anything more in my life. It's been the hardest year of my life. I screwed a lot of things up, but I'm not screwing this up. And Dawson says, life is desperate. Life is chances. You never get back. And yeah, he can like tell that like Dawson is desperate. He has anguish. He has youthful torment. He says, yeah, you can't fake it as you get older. It's very marketable. So he wants Dawson to send him his next project and he's going to make a few phone calls, put out some feelers. And like, this is great. I feel like Dawson does a lot of work here to like go the opposite direction of what the fuck Oliver did.
Yeah. And it just shows how capable Dawson is in that if he was given a voice in that moment, then he yeah. would have done a great job to propel them further. And I think that yeah. although Oliver could be a good writer, I don't think that not everybody is good at everything. And I don't think that all writers like sit in on business meetings.
Yeah.
And I think that Oliver should be taken out of the equation.
Yeah. In the dorm room the next morning, Audrey and Joey wake up to the sounds of a cat dying. Oh, wait, it's Charlie singing.
That's a little rude. I didn't think that his singing was that bad.
It really wasn't. He's singing I Want You to Want Me,
which is the song that Joey sung when she was performing on stage.
Yes. And it's like a very like soft song. Version with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And Audrey says, oh, it's so romantic. It's like that movie. He makes you or you make him want to be a better man.
Yeah. Go out and speak with him. So yeah. she goes out there and they're kind of, I don't know, saying their goodbyes.
It's so stupid. He's like, I'm going to be a person of substance.
Good it's for you, like, man.
Okay. Like, no one really cares, though.
Some people might care.
This is just such a flop of a storyline. Like, oh, yeah. It's such a flop. Like, all I wanted was for Joey to have a little fuck buddy for a hot second and actually have fun. And yeah. instead, this the fucking fuck boy turns into a stupid puppy dog. I love puppies, but not in this instance.
Yeah. Not even those golden retriever puppies could save this storyline, right?
I will say, like, and especially because it doesn't work on Charlie. Like, we've already been told he cheats on his girlfriends. Like, he's yep. a bit of a sleaze. Yep. He tells girls he wants to do naughty things to them in the bathroom. So it just doesn't – these two personas they've created for him don't mesh up together.
They don't line up. If you wanted a nice romantic, you know, sort of a thing, then yeah. it's like – then don't do this. Don't do yeah. this.
this is stupid. But apparently he's going like, on tour.
Yeah, like you didn't have to do that whole thing with Jen, and then we wouldn't have been sour.
Yeah. It's it's stupid. It's pointless. And like now he's leaving, so it really doesn't matter. So he leaves seemingly to go on tour, whatever. What a short-lived fizzle of a nothingness burger. Then we're back at Civilization, where we have Pacey going in to talk to Alex about rehiring Audrey. And I really, really hated this. She asks, how old are you? He says 19. And she says, you seem older. And I'm like, oh, fucking Christ. He said, well, I'm not. And then she says something that I'm like, none of your fucking business, bitch. Where she says, aren't you a little young to be settling down? How the fuck is that your fucking business?
It's not, but she's such a freaking creepy ass bitch. I hate this wench.
Me too. Ugh. And and he says, I don't know how settled we are. And she says, but you are together. And he says, yeah. And she goes, oh, it's a shame. There are no adorable single men left in this town. And I'm like, how about men your own age, bitch?
How about that? How about that? How about that fucking creepy ass professor? And then you two fucks can be creepy ass adults together.
This show is obsessed with
inappropriate relationships. Hate you all. Hate these characters. Why are we doing this again? It didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. It's not going to work this time.
Try it for a third.
And you know what? It ruins fucking Pacey's career because he's going to get into a compromising position that doesn't make him feel comfortable. It's not going to end well. And guess what? He's probably going to want to quit his job and his career to get away from this predator.
Yeah. None of this makes sense. Like, because she says, like, oh, you want me to hire your girlfriend back? And he says, yeah. And she says, we can work something out. And then she makes out with him. Bitch, he's trying to get his girlfriend back a job. What part of that means make out with me? And so he's just like, oh, we must have gotten our wires crossed. He's like being very, very kind in this situation where she basically assaulted his face. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and she says, are you sure about that? And he's like, I should leave. So she leaves. And I'm just like, calm the fuck on. Why are we doing this again? What is it about Pacey that makes older women fucking lose their minds?
I don't know. I think once again, the show is like, look at this. This is our hot guy, right?
Our like, hot guy must get with older women.
It's like our hot guy that like has questionable quote unquote morals, because once again, like we wouldn't put Dawson in this situation.
Of course not.
Because he's our golden boy. We wouldn't put Joey,
we did put Joey in this
situation. But still. But also it's different because this is the 90s and no, actually forget about it. That was a lost thought. But I don't know.
It's all very annoying is the point.
I don't think that he's that irresistible. He has a baby face still.
I mean, listen, Pacey is like, I find Joshua Jackson attractive.
Irresistible?
For
a 19-year-old, for a
that's
child.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Not for a 40-year-old woman.
Like, how can you? You're literally in the city of Boston. How the fuck can you not find a hot guy to kiss? Tell me.
Oh, because she's probably gone. This is not slut shaming, but she said that she like can't find one. So like she's probably like,
go to a bar. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, then we get, of course, Dawson and Joey must be reunited. So she says, he's like, oh, I was going to go get some food. And she's like, I wanted to see how your meeting went. He said it ended well. He says, he thinks he might have an agent. And she hugs him and she says, oh, it's a dream come true. And so she wants to go get pizza with him. So they end up going off to get pizza together. And I was like wondering, is there any thing to glean from her saying like, oh, dreams come true, because she talks a lot about the like, oh, like I leave them dreamless and sad and in Boston and whatever.
Yep. They are going to be kissing in 1-4 episodes. Yeah. So they're back together. Whoop-dee fucking do. Hooray for everybody. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to trash Jen to project we had to dispose of Andy to make a Pacey and Joey relationship. We had to dispose of Jen to make a Dawson and Joey relationship. everybody is dispensable.
It feels very much like we're ending up where we started the season.
Yeah.
Which is very frustrating because it's like, well, what did we learn? And the answer is nothing.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I think that, I don't know. I guess not.
I mean, who knows, right? We still have some episodes left. Mm-hmm. That was episode 20. Our next episode is episode 21, and there are 23 episodes this season. So we have three episodes left in the season. So let's go over some feedback because maybe we're just being Debbie Downers. Let's see what the listeners have to say. We got an email from Kimmy. Kimmy says the show has lost its way. It's not like it's just bad. It's also not Dawson's Creek. This show should have changed its name in season 5, and I would have understood. Some alternative names.
Oh, she came up with names?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Joey's Jejun, which is apparently means dry and uninteresting. Oh, sorry. Joey's Jejun journey is what she says. Oh. Apparently the word Jejun means dry and uninteresting. And you know what, Kimmy? I appreciate the definition because I certainly didn't know what the fuck Jejun meant.
Yeah, Kimmy's got some vocab.
She's smarter than us. Dawson's driving do's and don'ts.
Okay, solid. Perfect. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then she said, so she said, don't eat ice cream too soon. Do drive pointlessly along the East Coast.
Yes, gotta do that. Waste a lot of gas and time on driving up and down the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. And then she also had to say, where in the world is Grams? Hint, banging Cliffy Smalls. Oh, these are other titles. Days of Our Audrey Lives, starring Audrey.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take that one.
Pacey's Pound of Cougars.
Sure.
Jack and Jen. We desperately deserve a spinoff where we talk about my suicide attempt and my abandonment issues.
Oh my god. We need an entire spinoff to actually give Jack a proper story.
That's the thing. Jack had a really big moment last episode, and then this episode, poof.
There is a possibility that they might have switched episodes around. Like, they wrote and filmed it in a different order in order to get the 100th episode to be, a special episode. That's a possibility, but it doesn't make sense.
It's just weird. And then she said, this episode should have been called Thirst AF because Charlie and the restaurant owner are parched.
Very parched.
Only 3 more episodes to go. Praise the heavens. Okay, so I'm glad we're not alone in this, that we both were I'm not feeling it.
What is this? What are we doing here?
Yeah. We also heard from Joy. She said, hey, guys, this episode is another not so good one for me. I definitely needed Jen and Jack. The whole Charlie thing is getting ridiculous. No way do I believe Charlie wouldn't go on tour, but at least that's finally done. Although I'm sure you guys are sad that Joey didn't just jump him, but I don't think Joey's capable of having casual sex. Maybe she could date casually, but with all her fears and hangups, I just don't see her ever being physically with someone she didn't see a future with. Okay, so there you go. So I think Joy is also saying she doesn't think they had sex. So I'm glad someone else was reading that the same way.
Yeah.
I do find it funny how Pacey teases Joey about Charlie, and then Audrey says something that I've always believed about Joey still having feelings for Pacey deep down, even though she was saying it as a ploy to help Joey break up with Charlie. But hey, I'll take whatever crumbs I can get in this forgetful season 5. Oliver is hella annoying and an idiot, but Dawson's not too bad. He really is at his best when he's talking about his real first love, making films. That's fair. I agree with this assessment. Danny has left without a word and left Tamara Jacobs 2.0 in his place. I hate Alex. I really hate her. Pacey's been doing well. He's got a job he loves, and he just opened himself up to being a boyfriend Pacey again and committing to Audrey. Although I feel even when they weren't official, he wasn't sleeping with anyone else. And now this woman in a position of power, his boss, is going to try to take advantage of him? Fuck that. And the way she words their whole interaction, it's all his choice? Nope. Pacey may not be 15 anymore, but he is still young and vulnerable, and he needs this job. And the way Joshua Jackson is acting during these moments shows that Pacey's uncomfortable and not wanting this in any way. Ugh, the end of season 5. It's a bit of a slog, but you're almost there. Till next time. Oh, I'm glad we're not alone in our feelings.
Yeah, nobody's happy. How could you be happy about this?
It's ridiculous. It's not fun. It really just feels like we haven't really gone anywhere. And it feels like we've kind of left certain characters just back in the dust, sick and sad, talking about Jen and Jack. And it's very annoying and frustrating. And I'd rather watch Grams and Cliff be like making out than half of this episode.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to know about their relationship. What do they do for fun?
Let that French twist down, baby. We want to see what's up. So that was that episode. Do you want to know the title of the next episode?
Absolutely.
Season 5, episode 21, After Hours.
Oh, no. I mean, what happens after hours? Nothing good.
Nothing good.
Nothing good.
But you know what? At least for us, we're not going to be alone. We're going to be joined by another guest. We have to complete the trifecta of Todd, Lindy, and Adam and have Todd, the librarian, on the podcast from One Indescribable Podcast to come on and chat with us about some Dawson's Creek. So phenomenal. I'm very excited to chat with Todd about After Hours. We have 3 episodes left to make it through season 5. I gotta say, there have been blips that we've really enjoyed, but like we're really in a slump right now.
Last episode.
No, but I feel like we're about to hit a really bad.
Oh yeah, everybody's kind of being like, "Oh, good luck."
It doesn't feel like it's gonna be good. Like I love a finale, so I'm really hoping the finale brings it, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. What are you up to? Where can the people find you?
Yeah, we put out Speed last week. Upcoming to your feed, we are covering Practical Magic for our second movie for Sandra Bullock month, Sandy B month. Mm-hmm. So check that out. I'm still on How I Met Your Father with Adam. So on PSR, and that's really great. And you can find me at Sarah Ferguson, and you can find us at Chit 90s Pod.
You can find me talking about Community every week on Post Show Recaps. I'm also talking The Last of Us over on Post Show Recaps, playing the game for the first time. And then recently I guested on Poker Face, if you want to go check out that. It is very fun. Peacock Show has no right being as good as it is, with Natasha Lyonne. Love her. She's hilarious. She makes me laugh. So go check out all that coverage. You could find me at TheJustSterling. And of course, like Sarah said, at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, Shit90sPod.com. You can leave us a voicemail. You can email us, Shit90sPod@gmail.com. Also, recently implemented, we now have a suggestion box.
Yes.
If you want us to cover something, you can go suggest it to us. We've already gotten a few suggestions. So we love that. Is it just on our website, Sarah? Where can people find it?
It's on our website. If you go to www.shit90spod.com, on the top bar, there is a suggestion box. It is, shit90spod.com/P, as in, I don't know, penis, /suggestion-box/. I don't know. You can just go to suggestion box.
Yeah, of course.
It's also on our
Twitter. P for penis. Don't forget.
I mean, what else? I mean, pirate, parrot, Pringles, mm-hmm. penis. Anyway, mm-hmm. thank you for telling everybody about the suggestion box. Please be nice and don't be like your mom's nuts or something annoying like that. I don't know.
Who would do that?
I don't know. I'm telling you, ever since I have like a teenager problem. It's not my teenager, but like our neighbor's teenager is like playing with lighters on our lawn. Like I am just so afraid of teenagers these days. So
they
feel like
truly are terrifying.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't understand that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we've got going on. Anything else, Jess?
No, that's the whole thing. So we'll see you all next week for season 5, episode 21. Until then, have a good one.
Just bye. Shit90shows.me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.